appreciate you guys coming in today to talk about this. It's hard to know where to find a place to start, but can you kind of just generally describe your feelings about a community center, building a community center, and more so a sales tax increase to pay for it, I guess?
Sure. The idea of a community center came up a couple years ago, I think. The mayor brought that forward. We haven't had a community center specifically for quite a while, but we do provide a lot of the services that can be provided in a community center. And I guess that's one of the things I think we need to take a step back and look at the ideas for services to be provided in a community center, see if they're being provided by somebody else right now, see if there really is a need for that service, mm-hmm. and if there is a need, if there's another location possibly that could serve the to serve those clients and serve that service.
Okay. So would it be fair to say that you're in favor of some type of community center, but the idea of getting a whole new building, which you would then spend multiple millions renovating, is not something necessarily that you're in favor of? Would that be fair to say?
That's correct, yes.
Okay. As far as a sales tax goes, the idea of increasing it, my understanding is, and it's, I know there's a lot of moving parts to this, but that the increase would go to some sort of configuration of going to fix city roads, the community center, and maybe even working in bonds in there and paying off bonds. Can you kind of help clarify some of our understanding of, is that right, and is that something you guys are okay with?
Well, I'm not okay with it, and it's because it will have to go, first of all, to sell bonds. If we're going to do a community center that's over $7 million, mm-hmm. and those bond proceeds would be used to build a community center or reconstruct the old Churchill building. And then the receipts from the sales tax increase would be used to pay off the principal and interest on the bonds. Mm-hmm. The idea that it can be used for infrastructure also is basically a selling point, because it can't be used for infrastructure until the community center is paid off. So you're looking at probably 10 years down the road before there's extra money from a sales tax to be used on roads. And roads were the number one priority in the community survey that we've done. So I think that should be the number one priority.
Mm. And one thing I'd like to add is that Gloria Osborne, who is our finance director, provided us the information that if we took out $7.4 million worth of bonds over a 20-year period at the current interest rate and the current bond charges, that would result in a payment of over $12 million. So maybe we should really be looking at this as more of a $12 million project instead of 7.5, because unless we're able to just write a check and pay for it today, we're gonna have to stretch it out over 20 years, or whatever amount of time. Maybe it'll be shortened up, as the city manager mentioned on the radio with you. Yeah. Whatever it is, the interest charges are going to be significant.
Would we be having a different conversation if the sales tax increase was purely being earmarked for roads, do you think?
I think it would be a different conversation. I also think that we would probably still want to get community input before we just approve it. And that's why we supported a referendum to be put on the ballot in April to get the citizens' input on that.
Mm-hmm.
And I've spent a lot of time, Cameron, speaking to my neighbors, people in my mother's neighborhood where I grew up, people at the stores, and I had that very exact conversation with someone that I've known since I've been about 12. She lives two doors from my mom on Bluebird, and we had that conversation, and she said if roads are what we need to be focusing on, mm-hmm. and I don't think it's so much that people are potentially against a tax increase. It's the tax increase is going for a project that hasn't really been defined. They don't know what the exact cost is going to be on a yearly basis to maintain it and operate it. They don't know what the revenues are going to be, and people are seeing roads in all different sections of town where they need to be repaired. So I think you're on point there.
Is there a point, because you said right now there's not a sense of operating cost of what the community center would be as far as operating cost. Is there a point that you think that we will have that nailed down? When will that come, I guess?
I mean, we met with Elizabeth Varner, who is our Parks and Rec director, and she was able to give us, and this is literally her words, a guesstimation that it would be $587,000 per year for operating cost. But that is really not known until we know what's going to go in the building, to know what employees need to be hired, what services are going to be provided. I mean, it's so that's a pretty important part. I mean, and there will, there potentially could be some revenue that will be created by renting out rooms for birthday parties or whatever. But until we have all of those figures, it's kind of hard to go, in my mind, to go to the citizens and say, oh, we want to increase your taxes. And I agree with Alderman Cox, and I agree with the referendum proposal, is if the citizens in April vote to increase the sales tax to go for a community center and for infrastructure, then I would certainly be before it. But the feedback I'm getting from my constituents and from other folks in this town is that they're predominantly against it.
I do want to, about the referendum, I asked the mayor about that, and you might have heard that it's essentially sounds like he thinks it's not an appropriate question for to put to referendum because the home rule sales tax is under control of aldermen, and they get to set that. So he seems to think that that's more the appropriate way to handle that. I guess what I'd ask for your response for that.
I guess he's right that we can do that, and we could be responsible for that. But it's not true to say that most citizens don't have that option. If you live in a town that doesn't have home rule, it has to go to referendum. So actually, most places, if you were in Knoxville, Abingdon, places like that, and they wanted to raise the sales tax, it would have to go to referendum.
That's true.
And he also doesn't have to vote on it. There's seven individuals that serve on the council that have to vote on it. We will make the determination whether or not the tax will be passed or not. And I've really been talking to a lot of people. I mean, some of the people probably think I'm a little crazy. When my wife and I were shopping on Saturday morning for groceries, I literally was going up to people and saying, hey, can I ask you a question? And explained who I was, what I wanted, and had some really good conversations with them. Several of them are not for the tax, period. Some of them were not that much against the tax, but they wanted more information to know what it was going to go for. And one lady said she didn't want to talk.
Fair enough, I guess.
One thing, we talked a little bit about the operational cost of the new community center, and there might possibly be some revenues, or there probably would be some revenues, but those revenues wouldn't come close to offsetting the cost. And we're going to have to figure out, someone's going to have to figure out how we're going to pay for those operating costs, what services in the city we're going to cut to provide those, to put monies to pay for that. So that's another discussion that needs to happen before we decide to, you know, open a community center and spend $7.5 million on it.
And Cameron, to your point about, you know, the tax and whether it's a good time for it, I mean, we've all been hit in the last few years with the inflationary pressures on our budgets. I mean, Aldi's is a place that I shop often. It's not too far from where I live. I know 2 years ago I could have bought a dozen eggs for $1.23. This weekend they were $4.29. Now, obviously different prices for different goods go up and down depending upon market factors, but that's a pretty significant increase for a basic that most people have in their refrigerator. Gas prices have gone up. Our Ameren bills have gone up because of the cost of delivering energy. So it's not so much that it's just this. If we isolate it and say it's just this 0.25% sales tax increase, it's really not that much. But it's on top of a lot of other things that are happening to our budgets that are putting a squeeze on most people.
Yeah. I know a lot of restaurant owners were making the argument that they would be disproportionately affected. Is that something that you buy and agree with?
Well, we've had restaurants and bars in this town close down during COVID, and a lot of those bars and restaurants are just now getting back on their feet, trying to meet payroll and all that. And for a bar, for example, that doesn't put the extra sales tax on every drink they sell, they have to absorb that. And if they don't raise their prices, it's going to come right out of their bottom line.
I would agree.
Do you think that a community center, at least, I guess, Churchill as a community center, which I guess you've made clear that you're not in favor of. Is that possible without the sales tax increase, or is, I guess, fixing roads in a significant way possible without a sales tax increase, since you're against the sales tax increase?
Well, I don't think, from what I heard, Churchill is a possibility without the sales tax increase.
Uh-huh.
We are going to pay off some bonds for economic development that we have right now, and there will be about $300,000 available next year in 2023 sometime. That will come from that. Those monies could be used for projects, roadway projects that are would assist in economic development. So there's some resources there that can be used for roadways.
Mm. And one point I'd like to point out, maybe not directly to one of your questions, Cameron, but we've had a lot of conversation in our community over the last couple of years about the South Side, you know, helping develop businesses there. We have a grant program which we've all supported. Different applicants for that. And one of the suggestions I had was to consider 820 East 5th Street, which is next to H.T. Custer Park, which is an old building that years ago when I was a child, my grandparents lived very close in that part of town, and I would ride my bicycle past the nursing home. And now it's going to be demolished, and it's going to be a 4.2-acre lot. That is in the heart of the south side of town, and Churchill is north of Losey. So I represent Northeast Galesburg. Ward 1 is predominantly in Northeast Galesburg. I would support looking at a building that was new, that was designed specifically for what we need. I mean, I don't think we need 87,000 square feet, which is what Churchill is. But if we built a new building that was energy efficient, built directly for exactly the needs that we have, I think that would be something that we should consider. But I think it's kind of being overlooked that program or a building, an effort that we're undertaking right now could have seriously been looked at, and I don't think it ever really was. It was kind of, oh, this is the engineers or the consultants looked at it, and it was thrown by the wayside without much conversation.
Do either of you gentlemen have any issue, I guess, with sometimes I've questioned, I guess, the order in which some of the decisions have been made. Does any of that ever stick out to you that maybe, I guess, for example, maybe programmatics should have been worked out in more detail before the Churchill building was bought? Is that ever something that occurs to you?
Obviously, yeah. I think it's obvious to most people that that's what we should have done first, was look at what programs, what services we can provide or should be providing, and then look at what type of facility we need to house those. Or maybe there's already facilities out there. You know, we've... our rec department has provided lots of programs. Elizabeth Varner is great at running programs, and she's ran programs such as teaching kids to cook, cooking classes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that somebody said, well, it has to be in the community center. Well, we've already provided those before. There's other kitchens in the community. We don't have to necessarily build a community center or rehab a community center to provide that service. And I think there's lots of examples similar to that we should be looking at.
A really good one, Larry, that I think I can think of at the top of my mind is on Chamber Street, they're going to create a new music center. Mm. And they're going to spend in excess of $1 million. I don't know exactly what their budget is, but, you know, Lucas Wood, who is in charge of that, called me up and had a, well, I'm sure you probably did the same thing, Larry. We took a tour of it, and they're going to have music classes there. They're going to have concerts outside on the lawn. They're going to have, I mean, they're doing a really amazing thing for the community, and that is a good example of how that is already going to be provided.
Yeah.
And it's going to be provided in a really big way. So why are, it seems to me there's a lot of duplication that is going on. I mean, we just built a brand new, or we're in the process of building a brand new library that's going to have a community room that will host 500 people.
Yeah.
And I know that's not open all the time and to where people can just walk in like this proposed community center would be, but there are other avenues. So to directly answer your question, I think we should slow down. We should look at this, have the answers to a lot of the questions my constituents are asking, and maybe try to follow in the footsteps of the library effort. I mean, the library has done an excellent job of defining a need, finding supporters, gathering resources not only from the state but local folks, and that is going to that's a vision that's going to come to reality here very shortly.
Have there been discussions or those estimates I think you gave earlier from about operating costs from Elizabeth Varner? Do those include staffing, or has that been a discussion? Or I guess, especially the aldermen that are in favor of this, are they talking in terms of we will need to hire more people, or is that not really been addressed yet?
I think that it did include staffing. It included things like utilities, mm-hmm. Maintenance, and that type of issues. I think it included one full-time staff, maybe two, and several part-time staff members.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you have a building that size or the portion of that building that we would use, we'd have to have someone there, you know, at least two people there all the time. So it's mm-hmm. It's a big expense.
Sure. Any just closing comments or thoughts that you would put towards the community, things that you'd like them to be thinking of, I guess, in the next few weeks?
I mean, I'll start off. I guess I just want to know, people to know that I'm not against a community center. I don't support the way that this has come about. Mm-hmm. I don't support the fact that Churchill was chosen, and it was pretty evident that that was going to be the location, regardless of what else was considered. The process has been a little bit backwards. There hasn't been enough information to the citizens about this. But I'm not, you know, I think we need to provide these services, but as Alderman Cox has mentioned, a lot of these services and a lot of these programs are already being offered throughout the community. I mean, Larry shared, and maybe you can share it in a moment, Larry, the amount of money that it would take if we just let everybody do everything for free as opposed to spend $7.5 million. So that would be a closing comments.
Right. The you know, right now, the revenues that we receive from the Hawthorne Pool, or what's budgeted in next year's budget, I should couch it that way.
Mm-hmm.
Hawthorne Pool, Hawthorne Gym, Lakeside Recreation Center, Lakeside Pool, and the Lake Story Pavilion is $170,000. And some people are saying that we're going to get $200,000 or $300,000 out of the Churchill building. There's just no way that that much revenue will be able to flow in from that building. And I would also say we have heard from the city manager that he thinks we should try to recruit people to move to Galesburg, and I wholeheartedly agree that we should. And that one way that shows that Galesburg is a good place to move to is that we invest in ourselves. And I think we've already done a lot of that with the new library. We're investing in the Hawthorne Pool. With the Hawthorne Pool and the other pools in town, we'll probably have as many lanes of swimming as any community downstate Illinois has, probably way more. We're committed to investing in the National Railroad Hall of Fame. You probably noticed we're in the process of demoing the Broadview Hotel downtown,
mm-hmm.
so that will be some redevelopment area there that we'll probably have to put more money into. We're investing in three new or renovated Southside parks already. So we are invested in Galesburg already. And I don't think, well, the mayor put out an email recently showing how cheap it is to live in Galesburg. And I think that's a great thing, and that's something that we should promote. But increasing taxes is not going to help that.
Mm.
You know, we reorganized our city staff. We're constantly reorganizing. We've added two new police officers, three new firefighters this year. But going back to even when we first became a city manager, council manager form of government, we've been constantly reorganizing our city staff and right-sizing it, as the mayor says. So that didn't just happen in the last 10 years. 20 years ago when Maytag closed their doors, we had to do a lot of right-sizing at that time. You know, the department that I ran was the largest one in the city, and we cut our staff by 10%. Mm. So, you know, we're always looking to balance our budgets. And while the city council does have input in that, it's always the staff that makes the hard decisions. The staff cuts back every year, with very few exceptions, has to make cuts in their budgets to make a balance. And then that goes to the city council for approval.
Mm.
The mayor also did say, I think, when talking with you, that we should trust him and not create division. And while division is not good, I don't think that means that we shouldn't disagree or complain when we see a problem.
And one final point, Cameron. I think it's very important that we allow the taxpayers, our citizens, to be heard. And there's a meeting tonight, as you know, that will help do that. But it's really important because the taxpayers, and we're all included in that, are going to be paying the bill for this. And the folks that visit this community, if this 0.25% sales tax will be passed, they'll pay for it when they shop in this community. So it's really important that people come tonight and voice their opinion. If they're not able to be there tonight, that they email us. I mean, I've responded to every single email, and I appreciate everybody that I've talked to in person letting me know what their opinion is. But I think it's critical. Even though as a home rule city, we don't have to ask them on a referendum if we can increase their taxes, I support that because I think it's important because they're the ones that are paying it in the long run.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, gentlemen, for your time and for giving us your views and helping clear some things up. So thanks so much.
Right. Thank you.